Esther chapter 3. Verse 7. The more we study Esther, it's more amazing. When we see how many, I mean, every verse, you're seeing a piece of God's work falling into place. Now, he sees it all, start to finish as a whole, and yet in time, he pieces it together, unaware to us. The Lord's faithfulness is above and beyond the heavens. What he does in each individual intricate thing is an amazing thing to see. And then most of what the Lord does, we don't see. And yet he does this type of thing as part of his being. Verse 7, Esther 3, in the first month, which is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Pur, that is the lot, was cast before Haman from day to day and from month to month until the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. So he says, he's talking about them needing to be wiped out. Verse 9, if it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put in the king's treasuries. And the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, the silver is yours and the people also, to do with them as you please. Let's pray. Lord, if we understand your teaching in scripture about the nature of mankind, we know that every man has within him, because of a wicked, corrupt heart that is common, and one that we all bring into this world in sin, that we are capable of so many vicious, terrible, awful things. And we see it all the time, and people are proud of it. People want to do more evil. They often feel that they've missed out if they've not done more evil. And this is our heart, Lord. We all must beware of this. We all must realize that the Hamans and the Ahasuerus's of that day are of the same fiber of being that we have today and we have in us without your grace. And so, Lord, we pray would take clear guidance and warning from this and walk with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People are always saying that the things we're seeing today are the worst ever, that things are worse today in our society than they've ever been at any time. I will have to say, in my life, I don't remember worse times. And I may have been young and not picked up on some of them, but it just seems that way. The things are being taught to kids, 5 and 6 year old kids, even in public schools that you hear about. They're taught how to have sex. They're taught about race issues and like CRT, intersectionality. These things are prominent today. They're taught about gender fluidity. That there's no certainty in your gender, that you can choose what you want. They're taught revisionist history, things that people wish didn't happen. They just take out of the history books and teach something else. Many can't read, and scientists can't science, but they want to make sure to indoctrinate into pagan philosophies. Earth is worshiped as a goddess demanding our service, and we better get on the stick and worship Gaia, or she's going to get angry. Mother Nature's going to get off the porch and come after us if we don't stop driving cars and flying in planes and, you know, things that the greenies have told us are harmful and that Mother Nature does not like. Hate is being stirred up on purpose. I think that's the number one purpose of the news media today, and is to make people hate each other more and to cause division. Truth is banned from social networks while lies are promoted. All the communist propaganda from China, free and clear on Twitter. But the former president can't tweet on it. Facebook, this latest understanding of where the COVID virus came from Wuhan in China. Scientists talked about that. Facebook, you know, censored that. As someone said, a 23-year-old Facebook censor seems to know better than an immunologist. Scientists won't let it out. People are called smart who are, it seems, the most foolish in all the galaxy. The budget that just was presented, I guess, by Biden administration includes two words for a five-letter word. They're not women anymore. They're birthing persons. We can't say women. We have to say birthing persons. It really is crazy. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, says there's nothing new under the sun. So there is an aspect where the manifestations of evil are greater today. We hear about them more. The technology brings them to us more. But the heart of it is the same old wickedness that has been in the world from the beginning. And every church age, Christians who are sensitive to the times believe that it's the end, that it's over, that we've gotten so bad that it can't be any worse. It's got to be the end. It may be the end. I've said previously that the Holy Spirit, who is the restrainer, if he stops restraining, evil will get to the top and burst out, and then we'll come to the very end in Revelation, and the coming of Christ will be, you know, very soon. If he chooses to push us back from the brink, to restrain further and hopefully go back down from where we are to a holier time, then that will be the mercy of God. But we see in our passage that it's actually was worse then at that moment than today. They still knew biology, which we've lost, but it was actually worse then, because we see that there is a plan presented and approved to annihilate the entire Jewish nation. Now, the Arabs want to do that, I hear, that there's no peace that can be made between the Arabs and the Jews. That's an ongoing thing. There's a spiritual battle in that. But today, in this passage, you've got the empire in power giving their permission and blessing to wiping out every single Jew in the empire. That is a stretch beyond even the craziness that we see day to day in our country. That's what's bound up in the heart of man. Now, the most important thing to note about God's providence is that it works both sides of the issue. Take it, for example, a flood. A town may note that a river is likely to flood, and they will build a wall. And so they're on the one side. They can only control that one side. The other side is the floodwaters. And when situation, which is outside of their control, rain in excess or whatever other causes there might be, the flood will come. That's the other side. So they build a wall, that's their part, to guard from the part that's not their part, the flood. But God not only builds the wall to protect the town, but he also sends the flood. He's got both ends of that stick, as I said last week. He's showing his mercy. At the same time, he is also working his justice in mankind. If God favors the people, it's always by grace. We're all worthy of his judgment. When God judges, it's always deserved. No one can say, I didn't deserve that. Every person deserves the judgment of God. Sometimes God works his judgment out. Sometimes God brings mercy and grace. So that's in God's hands. It's not that people don't have cause and effect in the world. And what we do matters. But it's just that God is absolutely sovereign. And he works both sides. Now, when God was pronouncing judgment on Amalek, and I pointed that out a couple of times, he said Amalek he would never favor. And Haman is part of that group. And so God was serious when he pronounced judgment on Amalek. And in Esther, really, nobody can be proved to be seeking the glory of God except God. The Bible tells us that we're to do all things for the glory of God. Every person made by God is required by God to seek the glory of God. His glory, his will, his law, everything that God says, he favors. I don't see anybody absolutely doing that in Esther. Mordecai is seeking, I think, political things for Israel. Haman is seeking his own vengeance. So nobody's doing anything except God. But the point being that God does not need us to do anything. And in the worst of times, God is still seeking his glory and will bring it to pass. Now let's look first of all at the lot, verse 7. We read in verse 7, in the first month, which is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, that is, the lot was cast before Haman from day to day, and then from month to month, until the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Well, the first thing Haman does here is he bypasses moral law. There would not be a lot if Haman understood the moral law of God. You shall not commit murder. And every single person, you don't have to be Jewish, you have to say you're religious or a Christian. Every single person is required to obey the law of God, because the law of God is just an expression of the character of God and the will of God. And God is the only God there is. So there's that law, you shall not commit murder. Even societies that are pagan have laws against murder. Haman, since he was slighted by Mordecai, Mordecai did not stand and bow to him and pay him the respect that King Ahasuerus had commanded. Well, because of that, he just completely bypassed, you shall not commit murder. Because now he wants to commit genocide. He wants to kill every Jew because he had been slighted. And so Haman does what pagans do. And then we've got a lot of pagans in all societies, is he sought a confirmation of the best day to do this, the best day from the heavens that would be determined by chance as to what would be the best day to kill all these people. And it was likely done, it says, we're told in the text, in the presence of Haman, by magicians or astrologers, people who were supposedly skilled at these ways of determining the cosmic will. I say the cosmic will. There's no personal God mentioned here. It could have been a particular Persian God. It could have been, you know, just today, people think that somebody's out there that will tell us things. But there's no foundation here. Like I said, he's already bypassed absolute moral law. So magicians, astrologers, they come out and they have some kind of it may be pretty pretty intense and detailed. But it's a way to figure out what would be the best day to carry out our will. Assuming, of course, as they do, that murder of all the Jews is the will of the God that is being sought for more direction. So however they did it, they searched for the luckiest day. The day that would be cosmic confirmation. If it comes up, if the lot that is cast comes up on a certain day, we will assume that the impersonal blob that we've cast lots to for him to show us what he wants, that the impersonal blob has confirmed that this particular day is the day he wants us to commit genocide. So this professional class of magicians or astrologers or whatever, they do that for Haman. And astrology, of course, continues today. Palm reading, crystal balls, people are taken by these things, the horoscopes in every paper. It's stupid. It's superstitious. It has no bearing. Can you imagine people just one day got together looking at the stars? You say, you know, that star over there is over there. Somebody says, it sure is. Well, you know, it's not always over there. It's sometimes over there. Yeah, wonder what it means. Well, if it's over there, it must mean it's not a good day to go to work. But if it was over there, maybe it would mean I should get married. And it just, you know, people probably at first would have said, laughed it off, but then it became something big. And it didn't take long. People are superstitious. Without God, they make their own God. They want guidance. So they look to the stars and the planets and they make things up based on just superstition. And this is what this is. And so Haman says, well, when's the best day for me to commit genocide? According to the impersonal blob that's out there somewhere, what would he want? So they cast per means lot. So they cast the per. We're told from day to day and month to month. Basically, is this the day? So whatever was cast, if it came up a certain way, it would be that day. But if it didn't, it would not be that. It was a mechanism of chance as far as the humans were concerned. But what they were saying was, I know this is what your will is to kill all these people. We just want to know when. So they looked and they examined and analyzed and figured it out from that. So one day it would hit the right day. It gives it a sense of legitimacy. Like a coin flip. A coin flip's a 50-50 thing. You probably cannot flip a coin 10 times and get all heads or all tails. The coin doesn't know. Technically, you could flip it a million times and it be heads or tails every time, but it's not going to be. Just chance. I mean, got a 50-50 on it. So they probably use some kind of elaborate means. And by it being elaborate, it gave the sense of legitimacy. Like, this is so elaborate, if it turns out to be according to whatever we're looking for, Well, then that just proves that the cosmic blob wants it on this day. Well, a lot's not always an evil thing. The apostles used it to choose Matthias as the replacement to Judas, but they had done everything else up until that point. They had chosen two men, and they put two men forward. They couldn't decide from there, and so they said, "Well, they're both strong as far as we can tell. You know, both of them would work." So they asked God to give a perfect lot, and it's more like they drew straws, one or the other. And Matthias was chosen. So that was a proper use of a lot. Here, they're casting the lot to do something evil, and it's not a simple one or the other. It was every day, every month. And we're told that the Pur fell on the 12th month, the 13th day. And that was the day that was blessed by the blob in the cosmic heavens. That's the day I want you to kill all these people. So that was, as far as practical purposes are concerned, that was the farthest from where they were. They started casting in the first month, and it was not triggered as the right month and the right day until the 12th month and the 13th day. That would have given them time, more time in a practical way to prepare for this, the Jews. The Jewish holiday, by the way, Purim, takes its name from this occasion. Pur is single. Purim is plural. And so on the day after, it takes place in February. The day after the lot, the 13th day, the 14th day of the 12th month, they celebrate how the Lord delivered Israel from this threat. The lot was cast for that day, the 13th. On the 14th, Purim, they celebrate the Lord's deliverance. So that was how they determined the day. Now, Haman, once he finds out the day, he's just got to convince Ahasuerus about doing it. Verse 8, then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put in the king's treasuries." Well, oh, ho, hum, we got these people here. Can we kill them all? Many battles like this should never be fought. Something like this should never be brought to anybody. No, there should never be such a corruption, even with a wicked human heart, with the revelation we have of God's will, where a person would bring such a terrible proposal to a king. This is one of those battles that should never, ever have to be fought. This should never, ever have come up. Southern Baptists are facing that, by the way. We're trying to excise from the denomination this whole critical race theory and intersectionality, which they put into a resolution in 2019 to include the wording in as something helpful. That's something that we should not be fighting. We should not have to be fighting this. We have to fight it because it's there. But people have put CRT, intersectionality, these pagan racist philosophies into the Southern Baptist Convention. Why did it happen? Why did these stupid leaders let it in is what I want to know. What happens is, rather than following the scripture, leaders get in power. They lose their mind, just like the leaders in Washington. You know, you elect them. They seem sane when they left the House. They get to Washington, and their brains are gone. And so it seems like also with some Southern Baptist leaders we've had in the last, you know, several decades maybe, especially more recently, they're looking to build the numbers up in the denomination. We got any more people? Well, we got to do whatever brings more people in. And one thing they determined that would bring more people in is if we talk like the world talks about these things. That racism is everywhere, that people are being abused everywhere, that hatred's going everywhere, that Southern Baptists have been hateful, that Southern Baptists have been racist, that all, and you just keep on and on and on and on about it. And so that was supposed to make us more appealing to these people who believe this kind of stuff, who make up these CRT and intersectionality kinds of philosophies. So they've been doing that for a while, and they never should have. My gosh, how hard is it? These leaders go up there and they say, well, you know, this might raise our position in the eyes of the world. Well, who cares about that? Well, they did. Anything so preposterously against the truth of morality should just die. And since it wasn't rejected, it's in schools and government and everywhere else now, and in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so this is what Haman says. And it should have been just laughed out. He says, first of all, there's some people in the empire, they're just poison. First thing he does is vilify the Jews. They're scattered out throughout the kingdom. You know, it's like you've got, you know, poison ivy out in the field. You better watch out where you walk out there. It's all through the field. Or you're walking through a field, there might be a snake in it. Or you got to watch out. There's snakes out there. And it makes you think, well, we've got to get rid of all the snakes. So he starts by vilifying them. He says, you know, they're everywhere. And they're different from us. So he dehumanizes them, makes themselves Persians better. And then he slanders them with a lie. They do not observe the king's laws. Well, the one he's particularly concerned about was the one that Mordecai didn't obey. And so he says we need to cancel them. It's not in the king's interest to let them remain. So that's a pretty good day's work. He brings up this terrible, awful thing about the Jews and how they've got to be killed. It's like a guy says, a redhead stole my girl. So we got to kill all the redheads in the country or in the world, because this is a personal matter that was troublesome to Haman. And it shouldn't have gone anywhere. There shouldn't have been one second of attention paid to it. He should have been, you know, walked right out, sat down in front of a TV, and made to watch professional wrestling for the rest of his life. Instead, this is the most devilish thing. The devil, Jesus tells us, is a murderer from the beginning. Here's the devil's heart: to kill everybody, kill all the Jews, kill everybody, kill all the babies. Haman uses, it's interesting to me as I was looking at this, he uses the same techniques that are being used today in the current political and social climate that we live in. He uses identity politics as the weapon of choice, just like people are doing today. You identify someone by something they do or something that they are, their race or their actions or their morality. And then you define them by that, the whole of them, and then you seek to cancel them. So he presents the Jews as irredeemable. One of the basic tenets of critical race theory is that if you're a white person, you are irredeemable. There's nothing that can be done to redeem you. You cannot be non-racist. It is inside of you. It is part of who you are. That's where you get the term systemic racist. That is not a biblical term. That is not a truth. If people are racist, that's wrong on either side. The other side is you, if you're a person of color, you cannot be racist. That the critical race theory is that white people and the European foundations of our society are all evil. They can't be other than evil. So if you're white, you should feel guilty. If you're black, you've been a victim. So it's not a biblical teaching. How it ever got into the SBC, I just have no idea how anybody could be so stupid. But evil is ingrained in people, in the Jews, is what Haman is saying, and that they'll never fit into our society. That you can't redeem them. You can't remedy their problem. And he condemns the entire nation just on that one thing Mordecai refused to do. One itty bitty thing where Mordecai would not bow to Haman is blown up into a full, let's cancel all the Jews, let's kill them all. Mordecai was the one, it's called woke today. Woke does not mean woke. It means they think they're woke. They've woken up. They think they're there to protect everybody. They're to protect people from being abused. You know, you always hear this: we need to protect the transgender community. We need to protect this community. You know, it's like without the government, we'd never have any protection from these, people from Mars. We need to protect those as soon as they hit the planet. That one little thing, which Mordecai did, he says they don't keep your laws. He was the only one. That everybody else was going along living their lives. So on top of all this, he's spreading fake news. He was CNN before CNN was even able to run. And he misrepresents his self-serving for as being good for the empire. He said, this is great for the empire. There's no way you should be letting these people live because, I'm only thinking about, he says, what is for the good of the empire. So this is how he presents his proposal. We call this virtue signaling. It's not that he's good for the empire. It's not that he cares about that. He only cares about himself, but he's pretending to be virtuous. It's like that guy who taped himself going to Chick-fil-A asking for water and then scolding them because the owner of the business did not believe in same-sex marriage, which is something also God does not believe in. And so he taped himself and then published the video because he was virtue signaling. Like, look how virtuous I am. I even taped a little 19-year-old girl at Chick-fil-A and fussed at her for what the owners of Chick-fil-A believe. And he didn't even think about it, how stupid it was to do something like that. Well, this is what Haman is. Well, it's just for the good of the nation. It's good for the nation. They're a danger just by existing, and they have different laws. They could break out and have a problem anytime. It's the same thing Pharaoh thought when Israel was there in the land. Oh, what if our enemies come and they take their side? It's just the same thing. It's just the same thing over and over again. We just get it today with woke and CRT stuff. But then there's also the money motivation. By this time, the Jews have been 100 years exiled. And they probably, just like any segment of the population, would have had quite a bit of possessions and money and value. And so the actual decree, by the way, verse 13, which we're not there yet, says that part of the decree is not just to kill the Jews, but to plunder them, to get their stuff. So Haman promises 10,000 talents of silver to go into the king's treasuries. if he'll approve of this. And he says that in verse 9, I'll pay 10,000 talents of silver. At first, it seems like he's got it. That's too much money for any man. That's 75% of the entire gross domestic product of the empire in a year. He would have, you know, bunches of money. What he's saying is that all the money, all the possessions of the Jews will be taken. And we'll plunder that. And I'll make sure 10,000 talents of silver of that goes into the king's treasuries. I'll give it to the people who keep your business accounts. They can put it in the treasuries. That's his bribe. There'll be a whole lot more than that probably when you start talking about all the people in all the provinces who are Jewish and all their possessions. I mean, but, or he may have even valued that that was how much they had. But regardless, they're getting it from the Jews most likely, plundering them, taking all their stuff. So he says, you know, if you're having any kind of doubts about it, just think about this. I put 10,000 talents of silver into the bank for you in your name. Now, verse 10 then is Haman getting on the train. I mean, Ahasuerus getting on the train that Haman is pulled up next to. The king says in verse 10, takes a signet ring, gives it to him, gives him the, you know, the right to manage his, you know, sign his name on his checks. The king says in verse 11, the silver is yours, the people also, to do with them as you please. Now, whether he ever got something out of it or not in his mind, of course, it didn't work out later on, but he said, I don't want the money. You can have the money and you can have the people. Just kill them all. That's really the final thing to look at here in this passage is how does a person, even Ahasuerus, Xerxes, how does he say this? Who says this? Where is it? And you often say, how did this get started? How did this stuff get started we see going on? And somebody had to start it. And at the same time, somebody could have stopped it. Thankfully, there's a lot of things that we don't know about today that never happened because someone stopped it. Someone said no. Ahasuerus says yeah. And you're going to say yes to wickedness if you're wicked. The likelihood is much more that you're going to approve of wickedness because you're wicked. And Haman's got the favor of Ahasuerus. And so he says, just keep the money. I don't need that. You do what you want to do. And that's our final application warning. The big warning is look what happens when we don't take care to make our insides conform to the will of God. It's like floating. When we float on a river instead of swimming, at some point you're going to topple over something you don't want to topple over. And if we float and not make any effort to direct ourselves upstream, in this case, the flow of the world is wickedness. We got to go against that. So we have to paddle to get that way. The further and further we just float, farther we are from where we're supposed to be. And the farther we are from where we're supposed to be, that's where Haman and Ahasuerus had gotten to. They just floated right downstream. And even Mordecai had really, in his zeal for Israel, he put the whole country in danger. We'll talk about that more at another time. Our society has floated for years. We used to paddle. And now look at us. Look at the society. We used to paddle. Somebody would say something crazy. Somebody would stand up and say, no, 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 that's not right. We're not going to do that. And we wouldn't do it. But now people are just floating. And they float right down. And then suddenly everything is crazy. Southern Baptist churches have floated for a while. And now we've landed from it in error over and over again. The cooperative, Cooperative Fellowship broke off from the conservatives. The conservatives have floated still, not holding on to good biblical truth, the sovereignty of God. They've gone to pragmatism. They've done all sorts of other things. They've not exposited scripture. They've just sought numbers, and things have gotten bad, and they're bad again because people are not swimming. One thing I would do, knowing what we know, knowing that Niagara Falls is right over there, and here we are, I'd be paddling hard. One thing I've never aspired to do is go over Niagara Falls in a barrel or anything else. And yet we have been misled by leaders who keep us going in the direction of the world. And churches can't do that. Pastors can't do that. You can't do that. One law about water, and David's the expert on this, is that water flows in one direction. And if you let the water take you, it'll take you where it wants you to go. And the flow of this world will take you to evil. And that's what's happened. We need to swim, stand, fight, hold firm, set our minds, guard our hearts. Because we have the same core of evil in us as Ahasuerus and Haman did. If we don't paddle and swim and all these things that God has commanded us to do in Him being saved people, then we're capable, and this world is capable of a great deal of evil today. Let's pray. Lord, we are not unmindful of the fact that You've protected us from so many things, because we've had people in our lives who have led and have protected. We've had leaders who have said no. We thank You for that. Thank You for the Holy Spirit's restraining of the outbreak of evil. Lord, I pray that we would be firm and strong in our inner being and not take for granted and float in this wicked world and hope things work out. Lord, may we, by trust in You, active trust in You, push back against the evil of our times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.